Well, I have a text for you this morning, and it's Ruth chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21. She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has afflicted me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" Now you may know that Naomi means pleasant, and you may know that Mara means bitter. And so this woman who was called Naomi says, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." Now, how had God dealt bitterly with her? Well, he had allowed her to experience a time of famine. And the famine was so severe that she'd become a refugee. And for 10 years, she lived in the land of Moab. Now, Moab was a traditional enemy of the Jewish people. So she was living in a land where there was a lot of hostility towards her race. And she was there for 10 years. And during those 10 years, her husband died, so she became a widow. And then her two sons died, and she was left bereft of country, husband, and her two sons. And she said, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." And we're going to look at that word Mara and see somewhere else in the Old Testament where it figures prominently. And we're going to see that Naomi's experience was not the only experience of bitterness. And it may well be that there is someone here this morning who could say the same as Naomi. "The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." It may be as a result of this current coronavirus pandemic that you are suffering. It may be some other reason quite unconnected with the present plague that is going around. But your experience, if you are such a person, has changed from being pleasant, which you hoped would last, to being bitter. So I said we were going to look at another example of the same word, of bitterness. And what we're going to see is that there was a call from God. Clear, definite, followed by a struggle to obey that call. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And often it isn't. We're going to see that the people of God became obedient, but then were put to the test afterwards. And we're going to see how God led them through that and what he led them into. Now, the call you can find in Exodus chapter 3, verse 18, and it comes to the people of God through Moses. "They will hearken to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now we pray you, let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God.'" That was what Moses was called to lead them into doing, And that was the call they heard. And in chapter 5 and verse 3, they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray, 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And in chapter 8 and verse 27, "We must go, 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he will command us." And I believe that when God's call comes to your heart and to mine, it can be just as clear as that, and it can be repeated. And it can be repeated over a period of time so that in your heart you know what God wants you to do. But as I say, it was not easy for them, if we might put it in present day terms, to say, "Yes, Lord." It was not easy for them. "Yes, we will do it." Chapter 5, verse 4. "But the king of Egypt said to them, 'Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get to your burdens.' And Pharaoh said, 'Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens.' The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, 'You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks which they made heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall by no means lessen it, for they are idle.' Therefore they cry, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid upon the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words.'" You see what's happening? Instead of it becoming easier when they know what God wants them to do, it becomes harder. And their motives are called into question. And you can be told that your religious exercises, ambitions, desires, plans are wrong. They may be based upon some hidden agenda that you have, or some defect in your personality which makes you want to be an out-and-out Christian. And so the taskmasters in verses 10 to 14 lay upon them even heavier work. "Go yourselves, get your straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be lessened in the least." And then it says, "The foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters set over them, were beaten." So they even beat the Jewish people who were set over them to try and guide them and lead them in their work. Circumstances can seem to be against you. You want to be a good Christian. You know what God wants you to do. You know the service, but circumstances are against you, as these were, and people misinterpret your desire as well. But there were their own feelings. Chapter 5 and verse 20 and 21. "They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said to them, 'The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made us offensive in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us.'" It'll be worse for us if we serve God. And that's you leading us, so we don't want that. And their feelings began to say, "We don't want to serve God. We don't want to serve God." I was reading about a minister in the Oswestry circuit who was wonderfully used by God in this area. And when he knew the call of God to the ministry, his brother said, "Don't become a Methodist minister. You'll end up poor and you'll end up moving around all the time. Life will be dreadful for you." But he did it, and he came, and he was greatly used of God. Chapter 6 and verse 9, Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and their cruel bondage. And chapter 14 as well, and verse 10 says this, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were in great fear. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And so if you hear God's call, you may find other people oppose you. You may find your feelings oppose you. You may find your circumstances seem to be against you. It can be a struggle, but they came out. They went through the Red Sea. You must know the story, I'm sure. And they left under Moses' and Aaron's guidance. And in chapter 15, Moses and the people sang this song to the Lord. Wonderful to sing praises to God. Sometimes I go to a church and we sing and we come away and the wife might say to me, how was the service? And I say, I felt blessed. I felt excited. I felt uplifted. And I might be referring to the hymns that we sang. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. And you could read on in that chapter 15 about their praise to God and their joy. And that song they sang ends with this triumphant assurance. And I'm sure you feel this in your life. If you've obeyed Christ's call in whatever way it might have come to you, it says here, the Lord will reign forever and ever. And you feel that. And you feel, I've obeyed Christ. All the struggle is over. And I've said yes to the Lord. And I'm going to follow him. And the Lord will reign forever and ever. And then we get to chapter 15, verse 22. And things begin to look different. Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea. And they went into the wilderness of Shur. So they didn't get straight to the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, a land of corn and wine and oil, and God's peculiar blessing. Rather, they came into a wilderness. And verse 22 says this, they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Well, they didn't expect that when they were singing this glorious song about how wonderful it was to serve God, this triumphant God. And then in verse 23, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And you might well find, sometime after you've set out with a joyful heart in obedience to Jesus, not only your Savior, but also your Lord, you might well find that you come to an experience which can be called Marah. And you might feel like saying, do not call me pleasant, call me bitter. Do not call me Naomi, call me Marah, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. And you think that's not what it's supposed to be like, and it's not what I expected. And then we get to verse 25, and it says, there the Lord made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, saying, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. And he promised again that he would lead them into blessing. But it says that he proved them. There's one thing I often said about or to people who say, God's called me as a missionary. I'm going to go and live in Albania and I'm going to serve God. That's my calling. I say, You wait until your second winter in Albania, where it is so bitterly cold. And I remember going to bed in my sleeping bag with my pajamas on and a pullover and a hat and gloves and the bedclothes over the top of the sleeping bag that I was in, and still not feeling warm enough to sleep comfortably because it is so bitter. And I have said to prospective missionaries, you'll get through the first because you'll feel so joyful about serving God. And anyway, you won't really know what's going to hit you, but you wait till the second. You'll be tempted to give up. And that will be the test of your obedience to God's call upon your service. And that's something like happened here to them. They came to this place, they had 3 days without water, and when they found water, it was bitter, and the place was called Marah. And it says, as I read it, there he proved them. Well, what happened? They went on, and they found blessing. Verse 25, he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. So the bitter became sweet when Moses prayed. Mineral salts can cause water to become bitter. And there is a barberry bush, which the Arabs use, a pungent or aromatic shrub, which they can put in and it will cover the taste. Now, whether that's what Moses did or whether God worked a miracle in this case, it doesn't matter. We're not told. I believe in miracles, but this doesn't say whether it was or not. But the point is that in answer to Moses' prayer, God made that bitterness become sweet. Now, one hymn which I like to choose, and which I expect you've sung, I hope you have anyway, because it's a very edifying hymn, many times it contains this verse. It's a hymn by John Wesley, not Charles. Though waves and storms go o'er my head, though strength and health and friends be gone, though joys be withered all and dead, though every comfort be withdrawn, on this my steadfast soul relies. Father, thy mercy never dies. And I praise God, and it's not surprising, is it, that I sometimes go home afterwards and tell the wife I got excited by singing the hymns. Father, thy mercy never dies. And God changed that water from bitterness to sweetness. And he made this promise that if they would hearken to his voice and obey it, and would give heed to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. He said, move forward and I will heal and protect you. And did they do it? Yes. Verse 27, the last verse of the chapter. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the water. And so I'm saying to you, if you feel like Naomi felt, and you feel your experience is bitter, even though you really, really, really want to walk with Jesus, but it's hard, and things have gone wrong, and circumstances, physical, financial, family, religious, whatever it might be, it's become bitter. Don't give up. Because I believe if we pass God's tests, and it is a test, because it said here, there, he proved them at Marah. If we pass God's tests, he leads us on. And the time will come when there is love, joy, peace, and restored blessing. Amen.